Sean is invented. What Sean describes is not. It is happening across Northwest right now. This is their story. In Pendle and Clitheroe, chemistry graduates who want to teach cannot access the training they need, while secondary schools run science lessons in empty labs because they have no qualified teachers. The government that creates the pound sterling tells these graduates it cannot find enough pounds to train them, even as the classrooms sit waiting and the students go without proper science education.
I grew up watching my dad solve engineering problems and my mum help struggling students understand complex ideas. That combination shaped everything I wanted to do with my life. My younger brother has dyslexia, and traditional teaching methods never click for him. But when I started showing him molecular structures using building blocks and visual patterns, something finally made sense. The moment he understood how carbon atoms form chains, his whole face lit up. That's when I knew I wanted to teach chemistry. After 2 years in a pharmaceutical lab in Manchester, I was ready for the career change. The government had just announced enhanced training bursaries for science subjects, recognising the critical shortage of chemistry teachers. The £24,000 bursary would cover my living costs while I trained, and I could finally pursue what felt like my real calling. In September 2023, I applied to Edge Hill University's chemistry teacher training programme. The admissions tutor was enthusiastic about my application. She said my laboratory experience and passion for the subject made me exactly what they were looking for. Then she delivered the news that stopped everything. I have to tell you, the bursary has been cut from £24,000 to £10,000. Treasury spending constraints, they said. I know it's disappointing, but the programme itself is still excellent. £10,000 wouldn't cover my rent, let alone food and travel costs for a full year of training. I asked if there were any other funding sources. She shook her head. We're losing excellent candidates like you because of these cuts. It makes no sense when we're crying out for chemistry teachers. I tried the University of Central Lancashire next, hoping their funding situation might be different. The course coordinator there was equally frustrated. We have qualified applicants like yourself, but the Department for Education reduced our allocation of secondary training places. They said we weren't meeting recruitment targets, but how can we recruit when the bursaries don't cover basic living costs? There is no funding for additional places. That phrase, "there is no funding," started following me everywhere. I heard it from the University of Cumbria, from Manchester Metropolitan, from every institution I contacted. It sounded reasonable at first. Budgets are tight. Departments have to make difficult choices. Everyone was saying the same thing, so it must be true. Then, in January 2024, I visited my old secondary school in Nelson to ask my former chemistry teacher for advice. She took me on a tour that changed how I understood what was happening. Three fully equipped science laboratories were sitting empty during what should have been peak teaching hours. Smart boards, fume cupboards, molecular model sets, everything a chemistry teacher could want. But no chemistry teacher to use them. "We've had to combine classes," she explained. "One teacher covering chemistry and physics because we can't recruit specialist staff. Look at this." She showed me a stack of applications on her desk from chemistry graduates who had inquired about local teacher training but couldn't afford to access it. The head teacher joined us and was brutally honest about the situation. "We have people who want to teach, labs sitting empty, and students getting substandard science education. But apparently the government that prints the money can't find enough of it to train the teachers we need right here." Walking home through Burnley, I passed the old teacher training centre on Manchester Road. The building was locked up, but I could see through the windows. Interactive whiteboards still mounted on the walls, science equipment gathering dust in storage cupboards. A perfectly functional training facility closed down because the funding formula treated our regional teacher shortage as a local problem rather than a national crisis. That's when the contradiction hit me. The people existed. I'd met them, chemistry graduates desperate to teach. The facilities existed. I'd seen the empty labs, the closed training centre with all its equipment intact. The need existed. Students across Pendle and Clitheroe struggling through combined science classes because there weren't enough specialist teachers. So what exactly was it that there was no money for? The government that creates the pound sterling, that issues every note and mints every coin, told me it couldn't find enough of them to connect willing graduates with empty classrooms. But the real resources were all there, waiting to be used. I started to understand that this wasn't an accounting problem. It was a political choice dressed up as financial impossibility. Someone in Westminster had decided that training chemistry teachers in the Northwest wasn't worth the expense, even as schools struggled to fill their labs and students missed out on proper science education. The excuse wasn't a fact. It was a decision wrapped in the language of fiscal responsibility. The government that creates the currency was claiming it couldn't afford to spend that currency into the places where it was desperately needed. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it on training teachers in constituencies like mine. Now, I understand this isn't just my story. It's the story of every graduate who wanted to teach but couldn't access training. It's the story of every school running lessons in empty classrooms. It's the story of every constituency where people and resources and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The resources were never scarce. The political will to deploy them was.
What Sian experienced has a name: cherry picking. This technique involves selecting rare examples where spending failed to justify never spending, while ignoring overwhelming evidence of successful investment. It's like focusing only on restaurants that fail to argue that people don't need food. The exceptions become the rule, drowning out the evidence that contradicts the preferred narrative. In education policy, cherry-picking works by highlighting every story of wasted training funds, while systematically ignoring the thousands of teachers successfully trained and deployed. The Department for Education cited isolated examples of unfilled training places in some subjects to justify cutting bursaries for chemistry teachers, despite acute shortages in precisely that subject across the Northwest. The technique relies on the false belief that government budgets work like household budgets. When someone said there is no funding for chemistry teacher training, they were applying household logic to a currency issuer. A household must find money before it spends. The UK government issues pounds before it spends them. Critics might say, look what happened to countries that overspent on public services. But countries that issue their own currency have never defaulted due to domestic spending. Greece used the euro. It did not control its currency. Nordic countries with large public sectors have fewer debt crises, not more. The resources existed, the people existed, the decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Pendle and Clitheroe ranks 220 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in deprivation decile 5. The constituency has 3,184 registered charities, according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £200.4 million, according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.